Would you turn with me to 1 Peter? 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to head into this little book the first Sunday of the year. And I know that as we look at it, you're going to go, why are we starting there in chapter 3? Well, we're going to look here at the summation of this little chapter, and it's going to help us to get started with where we're headed this year. So 1 Peter chapter 3. Isn't it nice to be in God's house together? I just want to go around and hug everybody and say, good to see you. If I hadn't gotten around to you, hang around. I'll find you after church. It is good to be in God's house, good to be with our family. I want you to look at what he's saying here, and I want you to take note of a little promise in verse 9 as we get there. See if you catch it, okay? He wraps things up in this chapter, and we're getting to that point where he says, finally. And that's what everybody in the church looks forward to the pastor saying. I'm going to start today because the very first word in that verse is finally. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted. Now, most versions are going to say humble there. Be tender-hearted. Be humble. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on contrary, blessings. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Did you get that? That you might inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. You know, every Sunday, and I may have forgotten once or twice in the last 18 years with you, but almost every Sunday, I ask for God's blessing on you. Do you remember the Aaronic blessing? And I know I do an abbreviated version of it, but I say, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Do you want a blessing? Look, there's a recipe here. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. Listen, that's what we want. We want God's face to shine upon us, not to glower, right? I mean, you can tell. Listen, when I was a little kid, I had to sit on the front row because I got in trouble during church. My mom sang in the choir. My dad led it. And I could look up there, and I knew when I was in trouble because my dad would be going. You want Father's face to be pleasant. Amen? You want God's face to be pleasant for you? You want the blessing of God? Scripture gives us a good direction here. Pray with me, won't you? Father, would you bless the reading of your word to my heart and to the hearts of each of these here with me? God, would you touch our hearts with your Holy Spirit that we would not just be hearers, but what? Doers of your word. God, I would love to inherit your blessing. We all would. Help us to be prepared for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, I'm going to be sharing with you from this scripture a five-part call to Christian unity and compassion. Our unity is what tells the world that we're of God. The world's going to know that we love the Lord because we love one another. So as we've read this little passage from 1 Peter, I'm going to kind of tell you what our problem is and where we need to head with it. And our problem with this particular passage, look what it says. One more time. Be of one mind, have compassion, love like brothers, be tender-hearted, be humble, be courteous, don't return evil for evil, give blessing instead. And you know, the problem that we have with this passage is when we need it the most, we don't want it. Because we see what it says and we go, well, I don't want to listen to that. Did your mama or daddy ever tell you when you were kids, when you or your brothers or sisters were fussing with one another, and they said, tell your brother you're sorry. And what do? You're sorry. Our hearts are messed up sometimes. Okay, our hearts are messed up most all the time. When the Bible says that we have an evil heart and we really need God to help us literally with every step. Amen? Well, your parents say, tell your brother you're sorry. Tell your sister you're sorry. Yeah, sorry. We really don't want somebody to tell us to tell somebody else we're sorry, especially when we're not. Amen? Come on. It's the new year. Fess up. We really don't want somebody telling us what to do, especially when we're not in a mood for it. And when we don't need it, we forget about it. Oh, well, I'm fine with everybody. Everything's just cool with me, you know. We don't pay any attention to it when we don't need it. But here it is, and I'm sharing this with you because I want you to hear God's word. And when you need it, I want you to be ready for it. And when you don't need it, I want you to be counseling it, okay? C.S. Lewis said this. He said, everyone thinks forgiveness is a lovely idea until they are the ones who have something to forgive. So my goal in this message is to help put these words in your heart so that whether or not you need them right now, and we all do, but when we do need them, we'll have them right here, right here. So first of all, we look at this scripture, and the first thing that it calls for is for us to live in harmony. Now, we're going to deal with a number of others another day, but today we're going to concentrate just on harmony. I'm not going to try to do a five-part series in one day. So first of all, verse 8 says, finally, all of you, how many of you? So how many of you are exempt? Raise your hand. That's correct. You're not. Nobody is exempt. All of you, it says, be of one mind. Now understand this. What this scripture is not saying is that we all have to think alike. And some of you are going, whew. There's no way we could all think alike. We just have to have the same focus, Jesus Christ. We've got to have the same focus on Jesus. Now, the Greek word, when it talks about harmony, when it talks about being of one mind, the Greek literally means to be like-minded. Like-minded. In other words, have the same direction. Now, for most of us, being like-minded is what happens when you totally agree with me. I'm right. I've got the right look. You join me, and then you're right. You agree with me, and then you're right. That's not what this means. He's not telling us that we have to agree on everything. First of all, that's not possible, amen? My beautiful wife gets up and drinks a Coke Zero every morning. But when she gets her Coke Zero, she puts my cup in the cup in the coffee maker and makes me a cup of coffee. That's love, right? We don't agree on everything. And he's not telling us to agree on everything. Inside the church, dear friends, we disagree on a lot of things. Polity, maybe even politics. Bible translation. If we went through and we asked everybody in here, what's the best Bible translation? You're going to get as many answers almost as there are translations. Worship style, music style. And that's just church stuff. That doesn't even get into your football team and my football team. That's just church stuff. The list of things we disagree on could be very, very long. Amen? But the important thing is that we agree on the big stuff, the important stuff, the biblical things where we have no reason to disagree with God. Those things we hold to. The scripture here is calling for unity. Listen, not uniformity. Unity Not uniformity. We don't all have to look the same. Even the early church didn't agree on everything, dear people. The eating of meat, right? The Sabbath, Saturday or Sunday. Drinking of wine. How to organize the church. Do I wear a red or a blue tie with my tunic? All right, that was a joke. Thank you. You know, it doesn't work when you have to be coached on it, right? Disagreements in the church are nothing new. We don't all have to think and act exactly alike. But we do have to be like-minded. That's what God's Word is saying. That can only happen if we have the same focus. If we're headed to the same place, going the right direction. And the single focus that we have to have is what? The Lord Jesus Christ. After all, Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So if we're going to be like-minded, we're going to have to be like Christ. And if our mind is like Christ, and we all have the mind of Christ, guess what? We're all on the same page. The church is the body of Christ, right? Who's the head? Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church. And in Christ, and with His power, we rise above the little things that divide us. You're saying, Pastor, are we having a division problem in the church that you're preaching this? No, I'm preaching this so that we don't have one, right? Everybody has an opinion. But we all must submit that opinion to Jesus Christ. Even if your opinion and your opinion is the only opinion and the only right opinion, you still have to submit it to Jesus Christ. Even if you're the only one in the room that's right, you still have to submit it to Jesus Christ. That is God's way. We can disagree on a lot of things and still live in harmony if we what? Keep our focus on Jesus. Keep our focus on the Lord Jesus. The question is, here you go, are you ready for this? Here is the big question. Do you love Jesus Christ more than you love your own opinion? Do you love Jesus Christ more than your desire to be right over everybody else? Or anybody else for that matter? It is more important for you to love the Lord Jesus and submit to Him than it is for you to be right. Sometimes we just need to understand that we need to give up our rights to the Lord if we're going to be His servant, if we're going to be like Him. So the first thing is, be of one mind. Secondly, we're to have compassion for one another. Verse 8 says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Now, when it says one another, who's it talking about? I want you to look all around you. Go ahead. These are the ones that this scripture is talking about right here. Look around. Some of you aren't looking. Look around. It's talking about those that you know and those that you don't know, those in the church, those who are believers, those who are part of the family. That's where it starts. Have compassion for one another. Now, the Greek word there literally means to suffer with someone. When it says, have compassion for one another, you know what it's saying? It's saying, suffer with one another. And you're going, what? Suffer with one another. In other words, the scripture is saying here that sympathy or compassion is taking your hurt into my heart. I've told you before, you know the difference between major and minor surgery? Major's when it's on me, minor's when it's on you. But when we make it major in our own hearts for somebody else, that's what sympathy is. That's compassion. When my heart hurts for you like your own heart would hurt for you. That's what family does. If a stranger's hurting, you go, well, I don't know him. Doesn't really bother me. Listen, but if it's your child, if it's your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, listen, the scripture's saying you need to do it like it's family, because we're not just like family. Y'all are about to learn that. That's good. Sympathy And compassion is sharing in the sorrows of life. But you know what? Sympathy is also sharing in the joys. Can you be happy for somebody else who's had something good happen to them? Some friends of ours growing up, my parents were close friends with them, and they had some land out in the middle of nowhere. And they were just like us. They lived in a house just like ours, dressed just like us, drove the same kind of Chevy, that type of thing. Well, they found oil on their land. And overnight, these folks were wealthy. Now, this was back in the early 70s. These people told my parents, they said, you know what? Most of our friends have left us. They hear what happened to us, and I guess they're so jealous, they ignore us. They won't have anything to do with us anymore. You know what? It's almost as important to celebrate with somebody's joy and victories as it is to share in their sorrow. Can you be glad for somebody else's good fortune? You need to. If you don't, you need to get over yourself, and you need to be like-minded. Amen? There we go. Into that one. Let's go to the next one there. I guess we just need to learn to be sensitive and don't be insensitive or callous when we see somebody who's either celebrating or somebody that's suffering. Years ago, there was a family who lost a child. And they came and they said, I don't know what it is, but it's like people are afraid of us. It's like we have some kind of disease, and they're afraid they're going to catch it. Nobody comes around. Nobody invites us over anymore. Nobody talks to us. Old friends just act like they just don't want to get too close. And I think the protection mechanism was that so many people of their friends didn't know what to say, and they didn't know how to handle the loss, so they just stayed away from them. They avoided them. Can you imagine how hurtful that would be? Maybe you've been through that. Can I tell you this? I've learned something over the years. And I've learned this, that your words don't matter near as much as your actions. As a matter of fact, it matters more that you cared to be there rather than that you knew the right thing to say. And if you don't know what to say, can I tell you this? It's probably better that you don't say anything. It's okay when there is a tragedy, when there's a loss, when there's a hurt, for you to say, I am so sorry. I'm going to guarantee you they're going to remember that hug long after they remember what you had to say. Be there. Be there. Sympathy isn't just about your words. It's about revealing your heart, that you're carrying their suffering, you're carrying their hurt in your heart with them, sharing their suffering. There's a third thing that the Scripture says in verse 8. It says, finally, all of you be of one mind, have compassion or sympathy for one another, and love as brothers. That's brothers and sisters. We are to love our Christian brothers and sisters because we're all born of the same Father. Somebody came to me one time and they said, why do we call you Brother Gary? And I said, well, have you invited Jesus Christ into your heart? They said, yes. And this was a child. And I said, well, then who's your heavenly Father? They said, God. And I said, I've invited Jesus Christ in my life, so who's my heavenly Father? They said, God. I said, we have the same daddy. What does that make us? And they went, oh, you get it? Abba, Daddy, God our Father. We are brothers and sisters. And he said, love as brothers. I've seen some pretty heavy argument between my boys. I've got three boys. Some of y'all saw all three of them at Christmas. It was wonderful to have them all home. But I tell you what, there were times that brothers could lock horns. Can I get an amen? Does it happen with girls like it does with boys? I knew it did. I've Seen some pretty heavy stuff going between them, but I can tell you this. I always knew that if somebody from outside the family attacked one of them, they were going to deal with all three. Amen? Because the family stuck together. Sometimes we disagree with our brothers and our sisters. Sometimes we do. But we always stick together. That's why I tell you we are not like family. We are family. Because you see, family is stuck with each other. And you get over that point and that you're upset or you're angry or you're disillusioned and you work through it. You know why? Because you're going to be living together forever. Hello? You want God to put you in the same room till you can get over it? I'm going to tell you, you really, really need to understand that we are not like family. We are family. If you're just like family, you can walk away and leave. But if you are family, you say, you know what? We need to work through this. And you do what the Bible says, and you go to your brother, you go to your sister, you go to your friend, and you get it taken care of, and you get it worked out. Because you're family. Sometimes our problems are as big as elephants, but how do you eat an elephant? Get it done. Sometimes we disagree, and I'm going to tell you, even the Bible records that. I'm so thankful, God, that you put all of it in there. You remember Paul and Barnabas? Couldn't get along. They disagreed about a young man named John Mark, and Paul says, he's not going. Barnabas said, he's going. Paul said, he's not going. He abandoned me last time. Not taking somebody who can't stick with it. Barnabas says, you need to give him another chance. And these two guys had to agree to disagree, and they went their separate ways, serving the Lord in different places. Sometimes it happens. But you know what? It got taken care of down the road. When you love the Lord, you love your brother. This is an example I give to those who are getting married. And if you got married under my tutelage, you'll remember this. Our relationship is like a big triangle. God is at the top. Husband and wife are on the bottom points. And I tell people, you know, as one person grows closer and closer to God, you can actually grow further away from your spouse if they don't grow closer to God too. But if both of you are growing closer to God, what happens to the relationship between the believers? Isn't that cool? The thing is then, our focus should not be about me, it should be about Christ. You don't have to like every Christian you meet, but you do have to love them in the Lord. And loving your brother means caring enough to be there when there's a need, sticking up for them when they need some help, because we are family. The fourth thing Scripture says to do is we're to show compassion for those in need. Verse 8 again, he said, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, compassion. He says, not returning evil for evil, reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Know that you were called to this, that you might inherit a blessing. Friends, Christians are called to have a compassion, a deep love for those people who are in need. That's what compassion is. You see a need, you take care of it. We're to care enough to get involved with the needs of others. And there is so much going on around us that it's easy to get numb. Amen? It's easy to be numb. Hunger, health issues, natural disasters. But we cannot ignore the hurt. Do you remember the story of the Good Samaritan? If you go back and read in Luke chapter 10, you recall that Jesus told a man who was asking about inheriting the kingdom of heaven. He told him the story of the Good Samaritan. He says a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. So he was a Jew. And he was attacked by robbers. They stole his clothes. They took all of his money. They beat him and they left him for dead. And the Bible tells us that Jesus said, and a priest, this man's priest, was walking down the road and saw him, and you remember what he did? He crossed to the other side of the road so he didn't have to look at the guy laying in the ditch bleeding to death. And he went on his way. Then it says a Levite came by. Now, what is a Levite? The Levites were a special tribe that were the helpers in the church. I'm going to call them like the deacons, like the associate pastors type thing. And so this guy was supposed to be a helper in the church. He literally was supposed to be there to help people relate to the church. And it says a Levite came by and he saw the man. And what did he do? Same thing. Walked by on the other side of the road. Then the Bible says a Samaritan, a man that was hated by the Jews. You remember the story. Stopped. He took care of the man. Took care of his wounds. Took him to an inn. Paid for his care. And Jesus asked that man, he said, which one of these was this man's neighbor? And he says, the one who offered the help. You remember what Jesus said after that? Go and do thou likewise. In other words, you've got to do the same thing. You've got to be a neighbor to all those who are out there. When we see a neighbor in need, we've got to fight the tendency to pass by on the other side of the street. Amen? It's easy to make excuses. And it's even easier not to see the hurting people at all. Walk away on the other side. Just go. But God gives us eyes to see. And he gives us a heart to care that their suffering becomes what? My suffering. Reach out to those who are wounded, body, mind, and spirit. And there's one more this morning. We're to practice humility. And I think this might be the hardest one of all. To be humble. You know what humility is? Humility is not thinking less of yourself. True humility is not thinking of yourself at all. The Greek word, when it talks about humility, it means this. It says it means to have a mindset that doesn't rise very far off the ground. You go, what? Let me say that again. Humility is to have a mindset that does not rise very far off the ground. Now, you may recall that the Bible speaks of pride as being lifted up, or what else? Puffed up. You know, puffed up. You know people that are puffed up. You know puffed up. Humility removes our puffy, and it keeps us close to the ground. Keeps us grounded. Genesis chapter 2 verse 7 says that God formed Adam from the dust of the earth. Folks, you are a child of dirt. Hello? Do you know your origin? Dirt. Until God got a hold of you. Amen? Psalms 103 verse 14 says that God remembers our frame and he knows that we are made of dust. Listen, folks, humility is knowing where we come from, knowing what we are. Now, that doesn't mean that we're to be self-humiliating. That doesn't mean that we're to be self-degrading. That's not what that means. True humility, again, is not about putting yourself down or making yourself look bad. It's not making yourself to look any particular way at all. It's just trusting God for you to be who you are, what you are, and do the best with where you are. Humility means to be able to enjoy the freedom in God to be just what you are, just what God made you to be, a child of God. Let me finish with this passage from Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Did Jesus consider others as more important than himself? He left the glory of heaven. He entered into a human body. He endured the hardship of all of taking all of the sin on himself, and he died on a cross for you and me. Humility, compassion, love like brothers, have sympathy And the first one was unity, having like minds. When our lives are an example of these things, you can be sure that 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 describes you. Now, what did it say? It said, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers." Would you like God's favor to be looking on you? Would you like for God to be hearing your prayers, paying attention to your prayers? I don't know about you, but I want God's face turned towards me, not away from me. Father, I have done plenty to turn your face from me. We ask your forgiveness, Lord. Would you look upon us, and Lord, would you help us to be humble, to remember our origins are nothing except in you. And God, would you help us to consider the suffering of others as our own. Would you help us to keep our focus on you, Lord, that you would be our main focus in everything? And Lord, even as this new year begins, we often make a lot of new resolutions. But Father, I pray again that we would not just make resolutions, but grow some new roots in you. Would you grow in us a love for you and a love for others? And that our compassion and our love, our sympathy, that it would grow. And that our humility would be greater than all. Help us to walk with you, Father. I need that. I need your help like a little child, Lord, to take every step. Help us to lean on you, to hold to you, and bless your name with every little step we take. And all God's people said, amen.